Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Thank you, team. Come on, why don't we give them a bigger round of applause? You guys are amazing. Thank you. Nice to have a good-looking young man bringing the pulpit out to me. Thank you, Zion. That is our son. I'm not just randomly saying to a teenage boy that he is good looking, just to give context in case you're new here to church. But it is so, so good to have you in church today, especially on Christmas Eve. What an incredible moment to celebrate and honor our amazing God. So just thank you for prioritizing church on Christmas Eve, because really it's the essence of Christmas is what our Savior has done for us. You know, that song that we just sung, Silent Night, is just such a beautiful song of peace. And actually, there's a famous moment in the beginning of the World War I called the Christmas Truce, where soldiers from each side, German side and English and France, started singing Silent Night to each other across the trenches. And it led to this moment of peace between the two of them, where for Christmas Day, they talked to each other, they crossed no man's land and actually communicated to each other. And Silent Night was the carol that started that. So how amazing is that? It's known as the Carol of Peace. And I just feel right now that some of us, you know, as we head into Christmas, the reality is that many of us feel like my world right now is anything but peace. There's just a lot of turmoil going on, lots of different emotions. And we're just going to pray right now that the presence of Jesus would fall, because he came to bring us peace. He didn't come just to see us struggle on our own, but he came to be the God who intervenes on our behalf. So God, right now, we just take a moment to invite you, Jesus, to minister, to have your way in every single life. Right now, God, I pray that it wouldn't be a moment where I would just say words, that it would be heard as a preach or a teach, but God, that you would minister to us. Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in our lives. And I pray for those of us right now who are just going through tricky stuff. God, I pray that you'd lift the weight right now. That God, each and every one of us would know how much you're carrying us, how much you are the God, Emmanuel, who is with us. You did not leave us on our own. You did not forsake us, but you sent your one and only Son to give us life and to do life with us. And we just invite you right now, Jesus, to have your way. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you, team. You are amazing. You know, I was remembering this week, you know, it's been a crazy week. Has anybody else had a crazy week leading up to the Christmas manicness? And I was remembering as I was getting, you know, presents for the kids and, you know, spending a couple of hours wrapping all the presents for Christmas, I was remembering one of my first Christmases. And I grew up on a dairy farm and there were five of us kids, and Mum and Dad were at a point of saving for a farm of their own. So things were very tight financially for us growing up. There was one point where jam was the treat for us. And this one particular Christmas year, we got towels for our gift. It was just one towel each. But I was remembering that moment and thinking, you know what? I didn't feel like I missed out on anything. All I remember from those moments were the great family times together. And what I so appreciate my parents for incredibly is the gift that they gave me and the true meaning of Christmas, that it came back to Jesus. Both Mum and Dad came from incredibly broken backgrounds. My dad was raised by a solo mum, and in those days that wasn't the thing at all. He was from a very broken past, smoking from the age of 11, just absolute broken, abused, left school when he was 14, and Jesus radically met him. My mum grew up in an atheist home. Again, Jesus radically met her. And so I saw my parents live out this authentic relationship with Jesus, this personal God that they talked to, that they related to. And so for Christmas, that was the true meaning of Christmas, was this incredible God that we could interact with. And I'm forever grateful to my parents for showing me the true meaning of Christmas. Because the magic of Christmas isn't in all the stuff. The magic of Christmas is in the gift that was given to us. I read this week again, Isaiah 9 verse 6, and it prophesies the coming of Jesus. And it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And it's prophesying who this amazing God is that's going to come and bring redemption for us. Come that we would know Jesus personally for ourselves. But it hit me again, those words, that a son is given to us. He's given to us. A son wasn't just sent. A son has been given to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He didn't send his one and only son to do a work. No, it was a gift that was given to us. And the greatest question we can ask ourselves today, have I experienced that gift? That gift of Jesus, that personal wonder of knowing that I am saved for eternity, knowing that I have relationship with him in heaven for eternity, knowing that all my wrongs have been forgiven simply because I believe in him, believe that when he died on the cross and then rose again, I have victory over my wrongs. What an incredible message, what an incredible gift that we have in Jesus. What an amazing gift, the son that has been given to us. Literally, God packaged the most incredible gift he could ever possibly give us and gave it to us in the form of his son. What an amazing God that we have. Pastor David last week spoke so brilliantly about the gift of Jesus, how he came to open hearts. He came to reveal the kindness of God to us. He came to be the God that walked in dust. He had dusty feet. He came to be Emmanuel, the God that was with us. As Pastor Craig said before, the God that wants to get in our mess and redeem us. The God that wants to rescue us, to pick us up out of the dirt and give us a new life. The God that had hands of power, that came to bring healing. And I want to encourage us today. You may feel like you're in a place where is my hope? Jesus is the hope that you are looking for. He still does miracles. He still heals. He is still the redemptive God that we are looking for. He is amazing. He came to bring words of life, the words of life that would change our human thinking and our human understanding. He came to pierce hearts with his word because his word is truth and it brings us alive in our spirit. It speaks to our very soul, to the DNA, the core of who we are. He came to prophetically speak what we needed in our lives. He came to teach us. And he came to serve, not just to be served. He came to give, not to take from us. What a profound message. And I was reading this week, and this is probably the essence of what I'm going to talk to today, about how the Apostle Paul in Acts, he was speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he was saying to them the words of Jesus, and the words of Jesus are, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And those words hit me afresh because, you know, when it comes to Christmas, to be honest, a lot of it is about the receiving of gifts. And we enjoy receiving of these gifts. Like that statement where Jesus says it's better to give than to receive, it messes with us a little bit. Because I like getting. Like tomorrow morning, when I get my gifts from Craig, I've got high expectations. No pressure at all, babe. But total pressure. There's a tradition that we started. My parents always did us a Santa sack. We never believed in Santa, but we just wanted the sack. And so there would be a sack at the end of our bed with presents on it. And since Mum isn't doing that as much, it's been passed on to Craig. I'm like, I still want my Santa sack. So I'm excited for my Santa sack tomorrow morning. But there's something in our DNA that loves to get. We enjoy getting, we enjoy receiving, yet Jesus speaks these profound words, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he came as the epitome of that message. He didn't come as the God to lord it over us, to take from us, to rule over us.
He came as the God to sacrifice, to serve us, and to give to us. And this profound thought that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I want to just dive into that a little bit more. Why is that? Why is it better to give than to receive? And I want to look at today the gift that is in the giving. The gift that is in the giving. And the first thing is that generosity breeds community. Why is it better to give than to receive? Because when we give, it builds a platform for community. It builds a platform for us to have relationship with each other. It builds a platform for us to give. When God came and gave his son as a sacrifice, it was to build relationship with us. He exemplified it. He said, I'm going to lay down my son. I'm going to sacrifice my son for relationship with humanity, for relationship with each and every one of us. Generosity creates a platform for community, for relationship. When I teach my son, my youngest son Ezekiel, and we've got a long way to go here, but when I teach him to be generous, to share with others, that the message behind that is share, buddy, because it's what builds relationship. It's what makes friends. When we are generous, it builds this platform for community with our lives. I look at our incredible group leaders who open their homes most weeks, invite people in. It builds community. I look at our incredible volunteers who come in every week and serve, give to others selflessly. It builds community. They open their heart to others and it builds the sense of we're doing life with one another. I love that. We are all in need of friendships. And in this affluent society that we live in today, and we are in an affluent society, we're one of the most wealthy nations in the world. It can be so easy for us to get caught in this trap of just getting more and getting more and getting more and building our lives up and building self up, and we don't have true meaning in our lives. True meaning comes back to community, relationship with God, knowing him personally, and relationship with each other. It's why shows like Friends, Seinfeld, they're so popular. Not just because they're funny, but you're watching a group of people that have true community. They do life with each other. They're completely real with each other. And there's something in our DNA that is desperate for community. And that community starts by opening up our life to God, by being vulnerable with him and saying, God, this is the real me, and he wants the real us. He doesn't want a religious form of us. He doesn't want a pretext form of us. He doesn't want this thing that we think we have to show him. No, he wants every part of us because he wants relationship with us. He's a good father. He loves us. He wants every part of us. He is a good God. Generosity builds community. I was reminded about this recently. We went to Bali together as a family after the season of opening here at Sim Street. It had been a big season and we were gifted this trip to Bali, which was just so incredible. And so all three of us kids, Craig and I, we all went together, had a great time. And one of our last nights together, we were at a restaurant, and this restaurant was awesome. It was just pumping. There was a guy doing music, singing, and all of us in the restaurant were kind of singing along. It was a great atmosphere. And we ended up talking to the couple that were next to us, and they were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And so it was an amazing feast. And so as we got to leave, Craig and I said to each other, well, let's make sure we pay for their meal. So we went to the counter, paid, and then we just wrote a little note to them just saying, hey, congratulations on being married for 50 years. What an amazing achievement. God bless you. And then Hope took the note to them, our 11-year-old girl. She took the note to them. And we just kind of expected to be this little like wave at them as you do as you're leaving, just saying, bless ya. But the wife just came running to us. She's like, I can't believe you guys did that. That was just the biggest blessing. It's made my day. We started chatting to them for ages. We heard a lot of their life story. They ended up being from Phillip Island, which is like, you know, just up the road here, 2-hour drive from Melbourne. We ended up hearing, they invited us to stay with them. Honestly, I was like, I just thought this was going to be a quick exchange, but you know, now we're doing life together. And literally, as we were leaving, she's crying and she's saying, I feel like I'm saying bye to family. I was like, it was all created Because of a moment of giving. Giving builds community. Generosity builds community. And it's the way God's designed it to be. The second thing is that generosity expands who we are. Proverbs 11 verse 24 says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." It is so tempting to view the world through our own lens. To view the world through ourselves. The lens of self, the lens of what's going on for me. And when we do that, the tendency is that we make ourselves the main character. We put ourselves in the lead role of life where everything centers around us and everything evolves around us. Where the exact opposite is true of life, God is the center of it all. He has created us. He's established this world that we live in. And we are all people being led by Him. This world that we live in is a vapor. The Bible says a vapor, then it is gone and we have eternity with Him. If we believe in Jesus and follow Him, we have eternity with Him. So generosity, it's this truth that it expands who we are, but we've got to see the world through the eyes of our God, that He is the one that orchestrates things. That He is the one orchestrating the world that we live in, and we get to be part of what He is asking of us. And generosity allows us to do that. See, I love this quote from Dr. Michael A. Milton that says, "To give is to experience being part of a movement that is bigger than you are. To give, to experience the liberation from a privatized religion into a global movement of Christian faith. And this opens up our hearts for even greater spiritual blessing." It enlarges our world. When we're generous, it gets ourselves out of our little world, out of our little space, and it causes us to step into the significance that God has for us. I was speaking at a conference this year in Tasmania, and I met this incredible couple, and their names are Josh and Belinda Groves, and they have started a ministry in Africa, in a city there, and they just, I think they were happening to be visiting it one day and just got a heart for it. And this city in Africa was known for its street crimes committed by children. And there was just homeless children just roaming the streets constantly. And so they started a ministry there where they would get children off the street, and literally they have seen hundreds and hundreds of children come off the street, restored to their family. It's just a profound work what they do. But then they ended up in adopting three children from that same African city. And then in COVID came back to Australia, got stuck here, and ended up living in Australia for 2 years. Their children ended up loving Australia so much that they wanted to stay. And so now they each spend 6 months. One of them spends 6 months here in Australia, the other 6 months in Africa, and then they take turns each year. So they're literally away from each other most of the year. And I said to her, "Well, how do you do that? How do you live a life that is that sacrificial?" And she said to me these profound words, "I have come to discover the essence of the Bible, the truth of the meaning of Jesus, when He said, if you die to self, you truly find life. I have discovered to be true every single time." See, when we die to self, when we die to what our little world, our little thing that we're doing, and we step into something greater, when we're generous, our world gets larger and larger. We're used by God in a greater way, and He's able to move in our lives. See, giving, it builds reconciliation. I love what Proverbs 18 verse 16 says, "The gift opens the way with the giver. It ushers the giver into the presence of the great." Maybe you're needing reconciliation with someone. Generosity is an incredible way to bridge relationships. Forgiveness, maybe, is needed to bridge relationships. The gift of forgiveness. Now, so often, we think, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness, but forgiveness frees us. It brings us into freedom. The generosity of saying, "I'm going to forgive someone," it brings us into freedom that God has for us. Generosity, it's good for our marriages. You know, a study by the National Marriage Project found that regular generosity to our spouse, the small acts like just making cups of tea for each other, cups of coffee, was directly related to the longevity of a marriage. It builds community. It's good for us. Proverbs 11 verse 25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. When we're generous, it expands our lives. See, again, numerous studies have been done of the brain. And when we give, it shows the pleasure circuits of the brain were stimulated by giving, and then it also released our feel-good chemicals. Giving is related to decreased blood pressure and also reduces stress. And health psychology recently published a study that shows that people who volunteer live longer. But there was a catch. The volunteering had to be for unselfish reasons. How amazing is that? Anyone want to join team this morning? When we're generous, we live longer. When we're generous, it's less stressful. Our bodies are wired for generosity, to step into the largeness that God has for us. The third thing is that generosity, it pleases God. It pleases God. Hebrews 13 verse 16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. I love knowing that simply through living lives of generosity, we please our God. We please our King. And we don't do it to earn His favor. We do it out of an overflow of knowing that His favor is already with us. How favored are we that we have a God that loves us so much that He gave that kind of sacrifice simply through us trusting and believing we get to know life. And when we live with that revelation, we can't help but extend it to others. And it pleases God when we do it. It pleases Him because when we're generous, we're representing who God is. We're being Christ-like. We're revealing His heart for people. And God loves His people. He loves His kids. When we're generous, we get to reveal God's goodness to others. And, you know, we actually wanted to take a very special moment this morning to bless somebody who has been an amazing part of our church over this past year. And this woman is an incredible woman. And we wanted to bless her this morning because we want to reveal God's heart to her. She came into church in a pretty broken place. I remember meeting her in the foyer, one of the first services that we had. And she was just like, you know what? I just got to a place where I was absolutely at the end of myself. And then she met a beautiful Christian woman at a supermarket who prayed over her and then invited her to church. And ever since then, she's just been every week just totally committed to church, giving everything to following God. And so this morning, we actually wanted to take a moment and to bless Alicia. Where is Alicia? Is she here? Where's Beauty? There she is, our beautiful Alicia. Why don't we stand to our feet and honor Alicia as she comes? She's just absolutely beautiful. Alicia, we wanted to honor you today. Alicia is a solo mum of a beautiful little girl, Ayla, and has come from a very hard year the past few years. But we wanted to bless you today and to reveal God's heart to you, how much you were loved by Him, how proud He is of you, how proud He is of your persevering, your enduring. When my grandma was a solo mum, and solo mums are my new heroes after having kids of my own, how you do it on your own. We want you to know that we are a church here that loves you, that you're not on your own. God wants you to know that too, that you're not fighting on your own, that you're changing things for the generations to come. And so we wanted to bless you today and honor you. And what we have is that we've got this beautiful package for you, full of goodies, but in there is a zoo pass for you and your beautiful daughter. For the entire year, there's a $200 shopping voucher for you to enjoy and for you alone to get clothes and makeup, whatever you want to get to enjoy yourself. And then there's also a $150 voucher for Ayla to be spoiled as well. There's a voucher for you to be pampered as well, for you to enjoy that, and many other. There's a Bible, a beautiful Bible for you and for Ayla as well. So we want to take the moment and honor you and thank you for the amazing part that you play in our church. We adore you. You are amazing. You really are. God sees you. He's seen you from day one. And so we wanted to reveal his heart to you. Come on, why don't we give her a hand one more time? You can take a seat. See, generosity, it's Christ-like. It reveals God's heart to people. It reveals how much he loves them. How much he's there for us. How much we're not fighting on our own. And this morning, I know that there are people here today and you've never experienced open your heart to the wonder of God's love. You've never come to know the truth of who he is. You've never made the decision to trust him to be your God, your personal God. And today, we want to give the opportunity for everybody here to pray a prayer. And that prayer is an invitation for Jesus to be your Lord. For Jesus to be your God, to start a journey of following him, of trusting him, of starting to get to know his ways for your life, of saying, you know what, I don't want to do life on my own. Jesus, I want to do life with you. It's a moment of a surrender, saying, I don't want to fight life on my own anymore. Jesus, I choose to surrender to you, to have you as my God. So if you would love to just to give people a private moment, close your eyes, bow your head right now. And just as we have this private moment where Christians are praying right now, because this is the most important part of our service. But if you're here today and you say, you know what? I want to make a decision to follow Jesus, to have Jesus as my Lord, to know his love, to know his power moving in my life. And right where you're seated right now, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand and say, hey, yeah, that's me today. I'd love to join you in that prayer today, to pray and allow God to be my God, to allow Jesus to be my Lord. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand up and say, yep, that's me. For all those that are online, this is for you as well, wherever you're joining us, in your bedroom, in your lounge room, and put up your hand right now and say, yes, that's me. Fantastic. It's awesome. Honey, God so loves you. He so sees you. For all those joining us online, you can lift your hand where you are too and just say, yeah, God, because it's a sign of surrender to God, saying, God, I need you. God, I want you. I need to do life with you. Come on, is there anybody else that'd say, yeah, that's me? Maybe it's a prayer of re-surrender to you today. Maybe, fantastic, it's another hand. It's awesome, honey. Maybe it's a moment of re-surrendering your life to Jesus, but you're actually saying, you know what, God, I once did follow you, but if I'm to be honest, I'm not walking in proximity with you anymore. I'm not having you as my personal God in Christmas time. I want to make the decision to re-surrender my life to you and have you as my personal Lord. But I know there's some people here today and you need to make that decision as well. One, why don't you lift your hands to heaven and say, yeah, that's me as well. I know I need to pray that prayer. Rededicating my life to Jesus. Rededicating my life to him. That's awesome. Mom, why don't we pray this prayer together? Jesus, I invite you into my life. I ask you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I'm sorry for my wrongs. I want a new start in you. I want to know your love, your peace, your forgiveness, your joy. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Come on, why don't we give a hand to those that made a decision today? Absolutely amazing.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.